Hello and welcome to Bricks and Banner, the show with real talk from the custom LEGO community. I'm your host as always, Billy, and before we get carried away with this week's exciting guest, I have a few announcements to make. First, a quick reminder while you're listening to the show, you can head on over to the podcast Instagram page where I post a weekly wrap-up with photos relating to what was discussed during this episode. So if you're completely lost or unaware of something, there is a great chance that it's on that post. Make sure to go follow the Instagram page. It's bricks_and_banter. Following us on Instagram is a great way to keep updated once a new episode is released, and additionally, it serves as a way for you to share any episodes you enjoyed with others by simply reposting the wrap-ups onto your story. I really appreciate it. Next up, I will be attending Brickfair Virginia this week, starting July 28th for private exhibitors all the way up until August 1st, the last 2 days of which are open to the public. I'll be active on my Instagram story during this time with a few announcements of stuff that is happening, which anyone is welcome to join in on, so if you're in attendance, please stay tuned. Next, and I cannot believe I'm saying this, we have our first official sponsor of the podcast. That's right, this episode of Bricks and Banter was brought to you by Nate's Minifigs. He's been a big fan of the podcast ever since getting him on, so I'm really excited to have him as our first. He has an expansive catalog of high-quality resin-printed parts with themes ranging from Star Wars to superheroes to Halo and even some general accessories like pouches, armors, glove tops, and more. He's not locked down to one genre either, and I know personally there's a lot more cool stuff on the horizon. If none of those themes exactly tickle your fancy, I urge you regardless to check out his products because with a little creativity, many of the pieces have a wide range of applications outside of their prescribed usage, which is honestly one of my favorite bits about his product. Now, if you use the promo code BM4 at checkout, you will receive 15% off. That's right, 15% off with promo code BM4 at checkout. Support those who support the podcast and check out natesminifigs.com to purchase. With all the housekeeping out of the way now, I cannot tell you how excited I am to introduce this week's guest. This man really needs no introduction, but nevertheless, he definitely deserves one. He is Brickmania's lead minifigure designer, a prominent face and personality on Brickmania TV, which you can check out on YouTube, as well as an innovator in all things related to LEGO noses. That is right, this week we have none other than Lando from Brickmania. We've been trying to arrange this episode for a while now, as he has been a big fan of the podcast, so I'm absolutely honored that we finally locked it down and got to talk. So with no further ado, please enjoy my conversation with Lando from Brickmania.
Brick by brick, piece by piece, real talk coming live from the streets. Brick by brick, piece by piece, real talk coming live from the streets. Brick by brick, piece by piece, real talk coming live from the streets. Brick by brick.
And we're here with Lando. How are you doing, bro?
I'm doing great. I am very excited to be here. I've been listening in, and I'm excited to see where this goes.
Yeah. Absolutely. No, it's a pleasure to have you on, and you're one of the first supporters, honestly, of the podcast. It really took me back when you were showing support right out the gate. I was honored that you were giving it a listen, and you've been an avid fan since, and I'm thankful.
Avid, yeah. Avid. No, right on. It's been fun listening in. And I just kind of, I like, hearing in from the community. I'm a fan of LEGO myself, so I try to keep up with everything. So it's fun to listen in.
Yeah, absolutely. Honestly, just we'll jump right into it. Speaking about you being a fan of LEGO, I don't know much about you in terms of how you got your start in the community. Are you just an industry plant? Did you formed in Brickmania? Were you an AFL before? Like, I want to know all about that. So let's just dive in there. How'd
an
you
industry
get your start?
Plant. That's an interesting concept. Yeah. So I'm like a lab grown, like in a vat somewhere that totally trained for this. I guess I probably started off like a lot of people just building Lego as a kid. Mm-hmm. I think my first set was Blacktron 2.
Oh, okay. Classic.
Just some little space pod thing, generic thing. It's actually behind me in my little display case. So.
Oh,
I kept
you know.
I kept it in one piece. I was really, go ahead.
No, that's something special. Not many people could say that.
Yeah, I was really bummed at the time, though, when I opened it. Just like the box cover was this sweet neon green, like glowing canopy. Mm. And then like I opened the box and it's like, yeah, it's kind of green. Not like glowing, like vibrantly, like on the box cover, but whatever. It's still awesome. It's a cool theme.
That's where the photo magic comes in. It is.
Anyways,
cool theme.
Yeah. So that's kind of the start. You know, I've just been playing with Lego ever since then. And, you know, maybe some dark ages towards, you know, high school and college where I didn't really have access to my brick as much.
Right.
And I never really built like huge mocks or anything like I just, again, didn't really have quite the big enough collection or I don't know, maybe just wasn't, that's maybe just my excuse, but, I guess, really getting back in was, are you familiar with, Legoholic?
Oh, that sounds really familiar. See,
I think he's on Lego Masters now. I'm blanking on his name. Tyler. Yeah. Tyler Cities.
Okay, sure.
Yeah. His builds, I think that was the first time I saw online where it's like, wow, you can actually really build cool stuff with Lego, not just these kits and these like whatever rainbow builds out of your own brick. Mm. You can actually build some like cool,
cool art designs. Almost. Yeah.
And then that sort of just led down the Flickr, the black hole of Flickr, where it's just like so much stuff. Like you were on Flickr back in the day, right?
Yeah, of course.
Yeah. And I liked the migration to Instagram. It is a lot more social.
Totally agree.
But
man, all of my friends like that are from the Flickr times have such thick rose tinted glasses. I'm like, bro, Flickr was way better. And I cannot share that experience. I was just
so
kind of outcasted there. But
I do really miss how beautiful the photos you could upload to Flickr were. Like you could upload like 3,000 plus pixel pictures and just like huge resolution. Now we're on our phones mostly, so it's not a big deal.
Right, that's true. Yeah,
but it is kind of for archive's sake. It's kind of a bummer because like you're taking these pictures for your phone, and they're only like 1,000 pixels across. I think is what Instagram cropped it to.
Yeah.
So that means like, you know, in the future when we have like crazy laser displays embedded in our eyeballs, it's not going to be super high resolution when we're looking back on our archives.
That's a good point. It's something I also noticed that I've deleted some of my actual like original photos just because I'm like, oh, it's on Instagram. Like, what's the difference?
Right. Yeah. Yeah.
And like in hindsight, I'm like, oh my God, that was so stupid.
Yeah. It's super low resolution, but I guess the community is kind of what keeps it going anyway. So it's
totally.
Yeah,
that's the most important bit.
I've definitely taken more pictures because of just the feedback, just the sheer amount of comments.
Yeah.
That you
and
get
easy access.
So then, yeah, I was sort of back into Lego. I had graduated college, working at a coffee shop, just like any good graphic designer.
Of course. Yes. That's a hallmark of the trade.
Exactly. You got to pay your time. I think everyone should get a job in some sort of service industry just so they know how good their next job will be. but yeah, I walked by Brickmania. I'm in the neighborhood. I had no clue what it was. I saw a bunch of Lego on the inside. I was like, what the heck is this? And looked it up online. I was like, oh wow, I gotta like get part of this somehow. Open houses were going on every week. I stopped in and pretty much just volunteered my time, and it really has honestly just snowballed since then.
That's so crazy. I would have never guessed that's how you kind of linked up with them.
Yeah, yeah.
What year was that?
Oh man, that was like what, 8-9 years ago now?
Man.
I don't remember the exact year. I'm so terrible with numbers. That's why
I'm a graphic designer, too.
You know? Yes, hence the digital artist, not an accountant making cash. But yeah, I started out doing pretty much whatever I could. Mm-hmm. Sorting bricks, sorting brick arms, working in customer service, working online, all the different, like, you know, it's like 5 people back when we first started. So
sure. Yeah. Needed a hand.
Did a little bit of everything. So
were you familiar with the third party scene before that through Flickr or?
I'm trying to remember now. It was Brick Arms. Was this the first introduction to something like Brick Arms? I think it might've been actually. Maybe I had seen on Flickr some third party items that.
Like just in passing. But
yeah, I wouldn't maybe have known. I doubt it. Yeah.
That's wild. So Brickmania really dived you down this rabbit hole of the third party stuff.
Yeah. It's a crazy, crazy, rabbit hole for sure.
So then it's safe to say that kind of developed your interest, in Lego military, at least. Were you interested in history and military to begin with, or?
Yeah, well, so I grew up about like a mile away from an Air Force base out in the middle of absolute nowhere in North Dakota.
Oh, boy.
Surrounded by wheat fields and missile silos buried in the wheat fields. That's not even a joke. That's actually like a real thing. And So it's like some of my friends were like Air Force kids, and my parents weren't in the military or anything. It was always, especially that kind of Cold War era stuff, was always really interesting, because there's this huge air of mystery around it. You know, it's, you're dealing with like weapons of mass destruction and, you know, the Soviet Union, and it's, so that's always been really interesting, kind of in the back of my head with everything here. So
totally. Yeah. That kind of answers actually probably one of the questions coming up later, is just what your favorite genre might be.
Sure.
But,
sure.
Who knows?
Yeah. We'll save that one.
We'll touch it again. We'll say maybe it is Cold War. Maybe it's not. I was looking through on your Instagram, and I noticed way back that you had just like a bunch of watch posts.
Oh gosh!
And you mentioned that your newfound love for watches was because you were designing Brickmania figures and learning about the historical importance of them in military. Could you elaborate more on that?
That reminds. Okay, yeah, that's totally. That was quite a while ago. I have like hobbies that kind of come and go, and I still really enjoy wristwatches, but.
Mm-hmm.
I think trying to do all the research for these different military figures, I'll notice, they're wearing different, obviously the equipment, but throughout the ages, it's really important for timekeeping to, coordinate attacks and just, freaking see what time it is,
Oh yeah, of course.
So you see these wristwatches pop up a lot, and I kind of want to just figure out what they were, and that I just sort of, again, delve down into the history of it. I'm trying to see what the earlier posts were.
They were like way back. I was really just deep dive.
Early on, I was kind of just posting whatever. Now I've focused more in on the
onto the Lego, sure.
Yeah, just purely minifigures. I started up like a little rando channel on Instagram where I'll occasionally post things that aren't quite related. First watch. I'm actually wearing it right now. It's the Seiko SKX 00.
Yes. Love that watch.
Wait, SKX 173. That's the European variant of the more common, like, American market one. It's kind of like the ancestor, the grandkid of some like a Vietnam era special forces watch. So the current military watches they were using weren't very good for that humid environment. Mm-hmm. So they actually found diving watches worked really, really well in that Vietnam jungle.
Yeah, that totally makes sense.
Yeah. So, I mean, it's like a Rolex was actually, that's also like a diving watch, like the famous one, like James Bond.
Yep.
I don't personally care for Rolex a whole lot, but, it is interesting, like the history of it. But those are all watches like designed for a specific military purpose. And now we associate Rolex with like super quality, but
yeah. And luxury and all this,
whether or not it actually, is that originally it was designed for more of a tool purpose, which is why it was kind of like James Bond it was interesting that he was wearing a Rolex. That wasn't like a common watch for a fancy guy to be wearing at the time, is my understanding. Totally. So there's a whole bunch of different wristwatches that I'll see. Storm and Norman, he was wearing like a Rolex and one of these diving watches during Desert Storm. So it was funny to see like just dual wielding watches there. That's a pretty baller move, I think. I don't know. I couldn't pull it off.
Do you wear it with the face in, like towards your wrist, or what?
No, I mean that's
like that. That's some real like super next commando level tactical dude. Like that. I don't know.
I don't got time to turn my hand. I don't got time. You gotta see the time right now. No, I'm holding the computer like mouse person. Most of the day. I'm like,
oh yeah, that'd be so uncomfortable just on the face while you're trying to type and all.
Yeah, what's like the my daily life application where I have to wear the watch on the inside
where
of
you
hand?
Can't afford to turn your wrist.
I'm playing Duck Hunt. Leave me alone. That's the closest I'll get to that. Yeah,
of course.
Yeah.
I remember that was one thing. I don't know if you recall this interaction at all. I met you one time, a singular time at Brick Fair, Virginia, maybe 3 or 4 years now. And you were wearing that Seiko, and I was interested in buying the Seiko at the time. So I was like, can I try it on? You had a nice NATO strap on it.
Oh, right on.
And so you let me try it on because we were at Vic's booth. You were talking to him. I ended up joining the conversation was appreciating the watch. Anyway, I never ended up buying one, but I do have a Seiko now that I found at a Goodwill for like $5. It was the deal of a lifetime.
That is a good deal.
And I just haven't stopped wearing that one since. But
well, I'm glad you appreciate that. That was those shows are always so much fun. And it's again, like, you know, hanging out at Vic's booth, it's fun talking with Vic. So
totally, totally. I love the, well, before I get into that, are you going to be there this month?
Yeah.
The end of the month? Oh yeah.
I'll be
terrific.
There. Well, we also have another there. One. What is it? Brick Days, Nebraska.
Oh,
before that, but it's in Iowa or something like that, which is,
oh boy. I haven't heard a single thing about that one.
Yeah. That's our first show we're going back to since Corona.
Man, have fun.
Nebraska in Iowa. Speaking I think they of, originally wanted the convention in Nebraska, but Iowa was like right across the border and cheaper. Something like that. Whatever. It's cool. It's cool.
Speaking of Vic, though, what I really love is that between the two of you, you can kind of appreciate each other's work without having to spark up any sort of, you know, animosity or like, oh, you know, because you're sort of in competing brands, you know.
No, I hate Victor. Space.
Oh, okay. Right.
No, I didn't. Yeah.
Sorry, I was putting words in your
all
mouth.
Of his
you know,
designs
go
are just they're all derivatives. It's just garbage. No, totally joking. Yeah, it's
refreshing to see, you know, just to see the brands, well, just different faces within the brands, you know,
yeah,
show appreciation for others' work.
And that's how it, like, you know, going back to the early days, that's kind of how it really for the most part always was. You know, there's outliers.
Mm-hmm.
But like those, like we used to sell Citizen Brick stuff. We still sell some Eclipse graphic stuff in our stores occasionally.
Yeah.
And like this community is like, you know, we're all in it so much. We kind of tend to think about it as this really big thing. We're not even like all of military Lego is probably not even like a percentage of Lego in terms of like revenue and stuff like that. Like there's still so much of the Lego community that like is unaffected by us. So it's we like to think about like you think about it as like competitors, but there's really so much untapped like market
that space.
It's sort of like, what's the point of this? You know, or it's like, you know, are musicians competitors?
Like,
we're just making stuff that we like enjoy making. So
no, it's a great perspective.
It's weird to think about it as competitors. I never really saw it as that. So at least in the early days, I don't know. Now it's all like getting dirty. No,
I mean,
piss.
I think there actually could be a bit of something, not to stir up controversy or put words in your mouth. This is
of
my
it.
Own volition I'm talking.
Your own volition.
But no, I think over time, it's kind of evolved past that into people being a little more cutthroat and, you know, about the money, especially as people turn this into their income. Like it started off all, you know, fun and games, a part-time thing, but now people are feeding their family with it, you know?
Right.
Feeling might change.
Yeah, absolutely. It's money's involved. I think just like the internet has made us all a lot more like combative with each other. Like
yeah,
we don't.
I totally agree.
Like it's we're only seeing like the top headlines that are the most like, I don't know, crazy and outraging. So it's just like we assume that's kind of
something
what
that's provocative.
Yeah, well, we assume that's what the world's like, but. I mean,
yeah, it's not the case. It all lies in the gray areas in the middle ground that reality is.
And so maybe that's just like people are thinking they need to fight something. And it's like, I guess historical military Lego is their real life battleground. So I don't know. I don't see it that way. I think it's like even if somebody were to make a design that's very similar, like, yeah, that's maybe unfortunate, but. You know, move on and do something better.
That's the healthiest perspective to have. So,
but at the same time, I also like seeing, maybe it's more of a timing thing or I just respecting your fellow creator, I guess, like your fellow like artist out there, like give some space for them to do their stuff, like specialize on your own thing. And when it makes sense to like, do that version of it, that's awesome. Like I love seeing like Victor or Joe's take on or like, you know, like being inspired by what they've done. And then maybe when the time comes for us to do like Vietnam month, like you know, mm-hmm. maybe like he's made some cool Vietnam stuff in the past. They've made some cool stuff. So, you know, snowball and keep going with that, not just making a one for one copy, but actually trying to progress where things are at.
Of course.
So,
I mean, that's a common debate in recent times, not getting in too deep on that, but there is something to say about like not necessarily just drawing inspiration or trying to copy, but there is room for people to be working on the same things and put their own spin to it.
Yeah. And I actually,
and expand
actually like
on
that.
Each other.
Yeah.
I totally like agree. Yeah.
I just don't like when it's the exact same thing.
Of course. Nobody does.
Do something new. Add something.
Oh, that kills me too. When brands actually make like a direct one-of-one copy of something that's out there elsewhere, it's like, man, you could have just spent the time and done something cool and new. Like, this would have been way better. Yeah. I just think about the wasted resources that had to go into making something that's already out there. And that's just like, it's so disheartening. It's like, why?
It's if you got the talent to copy something, you probably have the talent to design something new. You know, it's like, you can do it. I believe in you.
That's a great point.
Do it, you know? Whatever. No, it keeps us on. I kind of think about this like in a bigger picture. Like Lego is like you got the Chinese knockoffs copying and you know, doing their own Lego sets. And I got to imagine that that's got to keep Lego going and motivating them to keep progressing things. So maybe it on some level it's like a necessary
evil.
I wouldn't go so far as say it's like a necessary evil, but it forces us to keep going.
Yeah, it's a natural part of the system. It's a great point.
So, I mean, we can't just sit on like V1 of our, you know, whatever German soldier. World
Spetsnaz.
War I soldier. Yeah. Just generic something. Yeah.
Totally.
What was the, Will made that like generic bazooka combined with an RPG. No, what was it? It was an RPG combined with a Panzerfaust.
Oh, yeah. It's just basic, like a bazooka. Yeah.
He's like, man, I shouldn't have made that.
Really?
Well, at the time, I guess it was cool because nothing else existed like that. But it's like, rather make the real thing as opposed to like some weird generic combination of things. So it's always super hard for me to make a German soldier. I'm like, well, what does that mean?
Ooh, okay, right.
Like you have a billion different units and like things and theaters and it's the generic minifigures are harder for me to make in some respects.
Ooh, that's an interesting point.
Like less research, but at the same time it's like, well, what defines,
what do you want?
Yeah So I'm glad that we're kind of you know, these past few years honing in more on specifics here. So like we did a bunch of Barbarossa minifigures. We're in the middle of that right now, aren't we? See, I'm working on like a schedule that's totally different from what
gets released.
Yeah, I'm quite a bit ahead. You know, I got to submit a parts list like 5 weeks out. You know, so even
in my mind, 5 weeks out is pretty short. That's a fast turnaround in my mind.
We have a pretty crazy pace here, but yeah, we're still like, you know, we're roughing out a schedule like half a year in advance at least. You know, sometimes we have like the next year planned because of like, oh, this year we did this thing in World War II, so next year we're going to do this thing. Like.
That's
some
intense.
Some stuff kind of makes sense, but yeah, it is a really it's been a fast paced schedule. This first 50 days of the year, it was 50 days of the year. I had 52 minifigures made.
Wow,
that was nuts. I'd never done that before. So
that is
a little bit burnt
that
out.
That is really incredible. Yeah, no,
they're not all completely unique, but you know, maybe half of them were kind of from the ground up.
Listening to as we were talking about just briefly beforehand, the Cali Brick Click episode that you were on, I listened to the one that Dan was on as well, and just like learning about the scale that you guys are operating, like I hadn't fully realized it.
It really
is the leading sort of company for what the military scene is. And I don't know, I think just because I didn't use the kits and stuff like that, I kind of pushed it to the sidelines in my mind and wasn't paying much attention or noticing how big it really was and what you guys were doing. But recently that perspective's changed and I'm like, wow, like it's really.
He's not joking around. Dan's, you know, he's.
Like there's full brand new kits every week. It's like, what?
So when I started, it was like we get a new kit out every 2 weeks or so. And it was just like one. And now it's some weeks it's like three new kits a week. Plus,
that's
digital instructions. yeah, it's we have this pretty awesome like workflow that down that we can get that to work, let alone like getting all the parts that, you know, it's just it is an astronomical amount of little steps here. Yeah, like we have this like project list that has like every single step documented and it was just like Dan and me and a few other people early on that project list, and there was like five checkboxes, you know, because there's like five people. But like now it's just like really snowballed from there, and there is a huge underworking system and fail safes, and Dan's not joking around. He's got this crazy thing going on in his brain, and he's gonna bring it to the world, and it's gonna be awesome. We're still going, man. I think we are just getting started, honestly. You know, it's exciting.
You were saying that the military Lego isn't possibly even a fraction of the grand scheme of things of the whole entire Lego market. So
do you ever use Google Trends?
A little bit. Yeah.
I love that. Yeah, it's you can kind of get a feel on like where every like different companies are in relation to each other, where they are in relation to, you know, like Lego and like our different military contracts, and it's it is pretty eye opening to see like how big some of these we're getting to be a bigger company, but it's like I know everybody that works here, you know. Mm-hmm. That's mm-hmm. not true at Lego. Like you know, that's a huge company, you know, thousands of employees. So
I'm gonna have to take a deep dive on those Google Trends now.
Do it. It's cool. It's pretty cool. Yeah. So it's like I think we had like what is this year? I think this year by the holidays, this is what I'm super proud of. We are going Brickmania is going to surpass Connects based on Google searches.
That is so sick.
I think it's on track too. We'll see if it does.
That's so sick.
Sorry, Connects. Yeah, so we're gonna surpass. They've just been dying over the years, and
Connects fans are crying right now. Yes. Bro.
So what's funny is we actually have one of the world's leading Connects builders on staff.
Oh, there's a world leading Connects builder.
Yeah. So they were very active on the communities, and they built ball contraptions, and it actually changed my perception on Connects.
Oh my god! So this is another late night 2 a.m. binge. I gotta go.
It's not necessary. So looking at Connects, I never thought we'd be talking about Connects on this crap. No, looking at Connects.
Just wait until we hit the plagues.
Oh my goodness! Yes, here we go. No, Connects. It's a totally different system compared to Lego. So I think why we see it as this inferior system is because we're trying to make
it totally different.
Yeah, we're trying to make it do the things that Lego does, and it's mm-hmm. just going to be garbage at it because it's course. Just like tubes and things. But it's a really good roller coaster. Like we had a roller coaster in that he built in our studio space.
I remember
here.
Seeing that. Yeah,
and like that was only a few thousand bucks. Like that would have cost you like $100,000 in Lego.
Yeah, that's
like
true.
to get 20 feet. Whereas this thing is just like you can get like so much like distance with as like a ball contraption. Mm-hmm. Like it's like little rolling balls. Like, you know, you've seen the Lego Great Ball contraption.
Yeah, right? Yeah, at events and stuff. Yeah.
Kind of like that on a bigger scale. So
that's cool.
Yeah. Totally different system. I don't remember why we brought that up. Why did you bring that up?
God only knows.
Come on, get back on track here. Let's keep this going.
All right. Well, I just mentioned it, you know, speaking of things we shouldn't be talking about on this podcast. You are a bit of a plugger,
as
being known in the community. And I'll come out and say it. I'm proud to be pro pleg. You know what I'm saying?
Bring the plague upon the world, man. This is it's so unsettling, isn't it? So can you describe? I know precisely what plaguing is because I am an expert in this field. Can you describe for the community what exactly the ethos of plaguing is?
Man, I don't know if much of a description is necessary at this point. For the past couple podcasts, I've been slowly torturing guests with, you know, an introduction to plaguing. But for those who are unaware, plaguing would be, what would you say, the next evolution in plate feet?
Yes, definitely now, evolution.
Evolution, of course.
Oh, I thought you were going to say in minifigures. Okay, in plate feet. Oh, that's fair.
Yeah, right. Well, it's an evolution on plate. It's like, you know, when you look at the you know, like it's the monkey and then it's like, you know, progressing up, like midway through is the minifigure and then there's the plate feet. And oh. Now we're reaching full apex human of Plagues. Right. But yeah, so Plagues are just an extension on LEGO minifigure legs with some studs and some feet. And there will be photos in the wrap up to bless your eyes with and cleanse your soul.
That was, I was not familiar with the term prior to, so you see my picture on Instagram. I had, I made that weird minifigure with like the backwards legs and then it's really unsettling. I didn't know there was a term for that.
Should it actually work that well though? Like, but that's like, what I hate.
If you blur your eyes, it's like, oh, that's nice. Like minifigure. That's a nice, it's this figure has form. It can pose nicely.
Wow, this minifigure's got such great legs.
I hate it so much. Yes, great legs.
Please tell me you still have that built.
I actually added. Oh man, the arms now are part of this new build because that's what's wrong with the scale now is that if you make the legs longer on a minifigure,
the arms ain't it.
Mm-hmm. So I don't have a great solution yet, but currently I have just the minifigure holding on to some like robot claws, which that does isn't working at all, but it's also unsettling. And the arms are backwards too. So the whole minifigure is just backwards. It's just, nothing's right about this.
Goodness.
I got a print on that, you know, man, a full there's figure
always,
design.
There's always the woody arms, but then they'll have to be white. That's all
so
got.
Yeah, Jack Stone is a good scale, honestly.
Right. Right.
But he just,
I think, in the latest integration of, Plagues from Gabe, he's used the Jackstone feet in like some modified way.
Is he like just hacking these to pieces? I guess. Oh yeah, you guys are cool with that, aren't you?
Sure. Yeah, I don't know. I guess he does mod them. I haven't dived
chopping the pieces up, man. I'm a purist modder. No, I print on minifigures, so I'm obviously not a purist. So.
That's a great. Have you done any just straight up brick arms modding in the past?
Oh, dude. Back in the day. So I'm old. This is old school modding here. Back in the day, you know, the Lego Islanders. That red
with the nose.
Yeah. Do they have noses?
I think the Lego Islanders is the one that had the nose. Am I wrong?
That might have been like Fort Legorado.
Oh, okay. You're hitting with Lego terms that I don't.
Okay.
Know.
Okay. Lego, the Islanders. It was like,
You keep going. I'm going to
so
find it.
It was a Lego Islanders. There's this red mask that they're like, chief or whatever has this like,
yeah, I know which one you're talking about.
Yeah, I modded a, what is it, like Aquanauts or like Aqua Sharks.
Mm-hmm.
You know those dudes, you know how they have these huge jetpack things?
Yes, like these helmets. Yes.
So I don't even know if I had like an X-Acto knife because I was like 10, I don't know. And like, so I somehow got like a pocket knife and hacked away that helmet off and I made it fit with that Lego Islanders mask. So it's the Space Islander. That's that's my first mod, I think.
Man, that's sick. Do you still have that too?
I can dig around for it. It's pretty, it looks like it was chewed off. So it probably was, you know, for all I know. That's the original modding, you know, is chewing on your bricks.
Oh, totally.
Everyone knows that.
Yeah, I guess the Lego figure with the nose was not from the Islanders. The Islanders, the females had some pretty big lips though. So
Yeah. It's that's the Legos. That's how Lego does it, I guess.
I love the old style on the Lego stuff. It's really unique.
Yeah. I forget who it was recently that came up with a line of it's like Star Wars minifigures that were just, it's like the newer generation of Star Wars minifigures, but done in that classic style.
Oh.
Like the newer characters.
That's really cool.
That was, yeah, that was cool. I do like that Lego classic aesthetic.
Were they for sale?
I think so.
Huh. That might be Classic Minifigs or something like this.
I'm not sure. I don't remember the name.
Anyway.
It's so, I don't know, is there like a better way of keeping track of all these different names on Instagram? Because I'm having a heck of a time like figuring out
who's. Not really.
Yeah.
It's all up to you.
And then people change their profile pictures and then I just
have no
clue.
Or like, they'll change their names too. And that's like, oh my gosh.
I've talked to you for years and now I don't, like, it's me. Like I'm sorry.
Prove it.
it's the collective Lego builder. It's weird. We're all the same being, I guess. I don't know. It's the hive mind of Lego builders.
Totally.
Yeah, I do like that classic style that Lego does. I think a lot of that's from what I've seen of like critiques for my stuff, like some of my lines are too thick, which I don't necessarily disagree on some of that.
Mm-hmm.
I personally have a bit more of like an illustrative preference, which I've been moving more into that recently.
Yeah, we've talked about, you've talked to me about it, and I'm really for the change.
Yeah. Well, so we'll see. It's sort of a subtle thing. But yeah, originally like lines, I tried to match. Like, I actually have a I don't know where it came from, but like a printout on Legos. It's like a Lego internal document on how to design the minifigure.
Mm.
And there's all these like do's and don'ts. And there's like a whole page on like do not put weapon, like brick arms is like crossed out. You know, it's like you can't have weapons with your minifigures. It's like official Lego. You can't print photorealistic faces on a minifigure. Like they had a picture of like somebody's face like printed on it.
Oh no. I need to see that now though. I need to commission that from somebody. Gosh. Yeah,
I have a decaled one of myself somewhere.
No way. That's so cursed.
I'll snap a picture of that and send it.
Please.
It's pretty horrifying because I printed it. Like I had no clue what scale to do it. So it's totally the wrong scale. Not that there is like a right scale for printing a photorealistic face on a minifigure head, but that was one of their don't do that. Don't print photorealistic stuff on a
minifigure. Dude, do you remember seeing... there was this company that was like advertising like full 3D printed heads.
Oh, I love that crap. Yeah. I know exactly what you're talking
those
about.
Those were so atrocious.
So creepy. Oh, it's great. I love it. It's great. Those creepy minifigures just make me laugh. But yeah, the other design aesthetic that Lego was like, they had a standard of make all your lines about 1 point. So it's just like a sort of standard measurement on Illustrator.
Mm-hmm.
And so that was kind of my guideline starting out, and I probably just stuck to it way too long and like should have maybe branched off more, but you know, it was working. So
right. Don't
now we're in a kind of a transitional phase, so we'll see where it goes.
Yeah, awesome. I'm really excited for the change, and I know, but going, I mentioned before that like the first time I ever met you, but I think the first interaction period was me roasting one of your posts. I was like, man, well, not roasting, I was trying to give genuine critique, but I was just like, hey, you know, these thick lines just ain't it.
Ain't it. No, it's all good. It's all good.
I appreciated your response, though, and it kind of actually touches a bit on what we were discussing just before, and that you said it would be kind of boring if all the companies did the same thing. Like, if they all looked aesthetically the same and they were all trying to capture the Lego look, like, wouldn't it get a little boring? And so I sort of agree.
Yeah, I'm
because if they were all doing the same thing, if they all had the same aesthetic, then when you made your own Vietnam version of this trooper, whatever it is, it's gonna basically have to look the same, you know?
Yeah. Yeah, that's, so I definitely encourage all the, like, these kind of, there's a lot of new companies popping up, like, find your own, like, I'm not saying this in, like, a jerk sort of way, but, like find your own style. Like actually, like, that's actually, like, the fun of it. Like, you get to kind of make it yours, and, you know, I think, like, the less, like, directly derivative of something, like, the art, like, you're going to be more proud of that as an artist. Like, you're going to see that as your own.
Yeah. And you'll be able to find a better audience that, you know,
but you know, when there's a design solution that works, like, you know, it's like, you know, if there isn't a better way of designing something, I'm trying to think of an example and nothing's coming to mind, but like the minifigure eyes, maybe it's like when you change that, it looks really weird.
Right.
So you kind of,
there's some standard conventions to the minifig.
Yeah. Like the weird. So, is the white dot a pupil? Like, what the heck is, or what are we looking at with this minifigure? Like, what's going on? Are these just like undead beings that we're looking at?
The eyes are, I don't know. I can't even begin to.
There is an official name for that white dot.
Are you serious? From like the Lego?
Yeah.
What is it called?
It's a glint. So it's like, it's supposed to represent like a little shimmer on the pupil.
Yeah.
So you're projecting like a bigger eye onto their head.
Man, I've taken for granted what Lego eyes look like for
so long.
Yeah,
I've looked way too long at this.
Now I'm scrolling through all my photos and I'm like, God, what are those?
It's unsettling. I'm telling you right now, a minifigure is weird. Like the proportions, like you think plate legs are weird? You look at a minifigure for 10 years straight. That's weird.
Yeah. It's like the Matrix. I'd really rather just take the blue pill now.
Exactly.
And, not learn all the obscurities of the Lego minifigure form.
It's precisely why I had to switch those legs around on that plate leg. It's like, why is there a big front bump on all my minifigures? This is weird.
Yeah, once you start looking at the front bump on the leg, you're like,
just ignore it. Just ignore it.
Is this a thigh? A knee?
So that's a good question. Where is the Lego
knee? Where is the knee?
So if the knee's right, so I interpret it as kind of being right below that, that like front bump. I don't know
the right way of, except it's more of like a shin if we're looking at Lego.
So yeah, what about like boots?
Human anatomy?
Yeah.
Right. And then the boots, and then it's like, but tiny tactical knee pads, and like the typical convention of where you put knee pads now is on that shin area.
So where does the belt buckle go? And where is like the fly in on minifigure's pants? Like where does everything line up? That would be, this would be like a human, like our proportion being like fused at the knees. Like I think that's what that's just a very terrible mental image. So that's what I see every day when I design minifigures, and it's a lot of fun. No, we laugh about this at work, just kind of joking around.
Oh, I'm sure. No, it's it brings up a lot of questions that you don't want to know the answers to.
This sounds like I'm just hating on the minifigure. I do really think it's super iconic and like a lot of fun. Yeah. I like it obviously a lot. So
it goes for a lot of different artistic forms and stuff that are like sort of abstract. It's like once you really start looking at it, you're like, excuse me? Like you just kind of take it for granted at this point that it's like, oh yeah, it's sort of what a human looks like.
Sort of. Sort of. Like complaints about the scale. Like people are like, oh, that looks like the wrong scale. Like when they're talking about a mock or a brick arm.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, dude, that minifigure's head is 4 feet wide. So like, yeah, you're not wrong, but yeah.
One more thing that I remember when you posted this initially, but I just was able to recall it looking through your post history, was that collaboration with the White Stripes. I'm a bit of a fan of Jack White's music, and that was really awesome to see the first time around. And now I'm with the opportunity to talk about it. I'm curious how that came about.
Yeah, we had our previous marketing manager. He was in the area where they're like they have an official gift shop.
Yeah. Where the record store is.
Yeah,
right?
Third Man Records, like their official whatever headquarters. And one of their higher ups was there at the time, and they got to talking and. That kind of just snowballed into a little side project. We made like 300 of them, like sets, like box sets.
Mm-hmm.
And it was only exclusively available through the
Third Man Records.
Well, yeah, Third Man Records. They had like, what is it called? It's not the Stud Club because that's like a Lego thing or Citizen Brick or what are they doing? They discontinued that now.
Yeah, now it's on the way out.
Man.
Okay. But the difficulty is, like, I have a shameful amount of points, and you can't redeem them all at once.
Oh,
so
no.
It's, like, super difficult. I'm hoping at Brick Fair, Joe can just, like, take them off my tab, and I just get a bunch of stuff.
So are those redeemable for other companies that offer Stud Club points?
No.
No, you don't? That doesn't cross over?
It's like checking, like, hey, can I use a Starbucks gift card here? Like,
I mean, TMC, are they still offering Stud Club? Because didn't they start that program like the same day?
No idea. Oh, wow. I think they started the same day.
Okay, so that woo! I think that actually was a legitimate like coincidence. Like they started their Stud Club program the like exact same day.
Man, I don't recall on that.
Like, so I guess they couldn't maintain it. I don't know.
Somebody who works for CB and just like the interface to actually like package those orders and use the Stud Club points. Like when you redeem it, it's like such a pain to actually
everything on the back end is just the biggest pain. Like it really is. So everything is just such a pain. Like getting a coupon code to function properly sometimes can just be whatever. That's actually not that bad. That was a bad example. I don't know. It's just like weird shipping rates. Like we have to. There's all these new like laws passing in like the UK and the European Union and stuff, and it's just like that's just a nightmare for taxes that we're trying to wrap our heads around. So,
right,
whatever, we'll figure it out, or we'll just stop shipping. You have just in-store pickup only for everybody. That's it. Or we'll helicopter it. We'll strike a deal with like Lockheed Martin.
Get the Amazon drones to come pick up.
Oh, right. Oh, we have a person in office that is an expert drone flyer. So we did a fly-through video a bit ago. I don't know if you guys saw that on our YouTube.
Oh yes, I did actually. That was really sweet.
Yeah. So
that was a while back, right?
Or no, that was like within the past month.
Oh, okay, then I didn't see it.
You did like a fly-through into the store actually.
Okay, I'll have to check that out. I must be thinking of something else then. That's cool.
Yes, we'll drone deliver everything. That'd be awesome. I'd love it.
Free Brickmania kits with each drone strike you purchase.
Absolutely. Yeah, that's probably a good deal. Like the drone would drop munitions on your house and
But you got a free Brickmania kit at the end of it. Like,
and that, I mean, they hold on to their resale value decently, so.
Right.
Your house, you can't say it's an investment. You never know with a house. It could get like destroyed by a drone strike. You know, it's
a risk. Yeah, you could just commit insurance fraud and get a Brickmania kit. Like, think about the perks here.
Two for one deal, guys. Come on. We're losing money even talking about this right now.
Somebody else is going to take us up on that idea. I'll have to delete it.
Someone's going to take you up on a drone strike. Yeah. That's going to happen.
It's a booming market. You don't know.
Future world is going to be cool.
If you build it, they'll come. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, it's drone strike domino delivered. Like, this hot and ready pizza explodes into your living room. Like,
it's not delivery. It's a drone strike.
Oh gosh, that's great. We gotta write this down.
Take notes.
Send it to Domino's. Drone strike, please. Yeah.
Well. I got one more thing I wanted to ask before we just wrap up with a few questions and then copper drop is, how does it feel being an innovator of the Lego Schnoz movement?
Oh gosh. Why would you? Innovator.
It couldn't be the podcast if we didn't mention it. Let's be honest.
I don't even know. So it's this one figure. It's this German special forces, this KSK. I don't know, going through, like, I pull up a bunch of source photos when I design a minifigure. And, I had this little collage going on. Pinteresty and nice and whatever, and just cool looking. But then I noticed that every other, special forces dude had his, nose hanging out of his balaclava thing. And it's like, I guess that's efficient for, airflow or something. I don't know. Or maybe it's, cool, you know how the Russians, they have their helmets tilted back a lot. That's that's cool. Is this cool to have your nose hanging out? This is what
lets your nose hang.
Your sleeves are rolled up. It's the special high speed, low drag. You know,
of course, of course.
So I thought it was Legos had a few noses on minifigures, right? Let's
a few.
Let's get that out of the way. They started it, not me.
They started this war. Now they can handle it.
So now this is where this is the logical conclusion is a nose hanging out of a balaclava head. And I hope I don't have an excuse to do a nose again because they're horrifying. You want this to be a standard thing on every figure?
No, but.
Or is this like a checkbox and checkout nose on your figure, $5 extra?
You're going to start selling nose and non-nose versions of your figures.
Yeah, Matt Damon with a nose. It's going to be great.
Oh, gosh. Great. What I don't like is that on your design, it actually works.
Yeah.
It shouldn't.
My thought. I hated it. It worked, but freaking nose minifigure. I don't know.
And now here it is.
And now you see all these other minifigures that Lego's made that have implied noses. You can see the nose right there.
Mm.
They just didn't draw a line. I don't know. It's in their mustache or something. There's a lot of those.
Right.
Just keep an eye out for it. I'm not lying. Okay, yeah. I hope that answered your...
Yeah, no, I needed to mention it. It was a checklist item. We had to get that off the...
I'm sorry. It's a blessing.
How does it
curse.
Feel? How does it feel knowing that's going to be your greatest contribution to the community?
Yeah, right. It's all downhill from here. There'll be a beautiful nose carved in on my tombstone. Is that what's...
Right.
The painter of noses. Brilliant. It's an honor. Thank you. I love it. I hate it.
All right. So going through some of the questions that have been submitted through Instagram. What design has challenged you the most?
So early on, I guess the first minifigure I designed would have been that Marine, V1, obviously.
Mm-hmm.
And that transition from sketchbook or something. I try to start out with a sketchbook whenever possible. But having never designed a minifigure before, that was kind of like a pretty huge learning curve. And we actually got, like, we sent it off to a printer, and they actually messed up the print file, luckily. And it didn't print, like, there was a certain color that didn't print right at all. So we had to, like, clean them and start over. And but in that moment, I was able to revamp my design a little bit because all the lines were just way too fine. And so I was lucky that they messed up. And so they're actually, like, my very first minifigure, like, completely got, like, scrapped, and we started
able to give it a redesign. That's good.
I think I have it somewhere. I lost it because it was so bad. Like, I was just like, I kept it as, like, this is the worst minifigure that has ever been made. It's in my, I lost it though. So there's maybe somewhere out there the worst minifigure ever. And then the next version was slightly better, and the lines read more cleanly. So, like, learning a new style, like my own style or derivative from Lego, and how to print that on a minifigure. That was definitely the most challenging one.
Right.
In terms of like research, recently the Barbarossa minifigures, the Germans have an insane amount of color combination on their collar tabs, and like Waffenfarbe, I think it's called. But like every single division has a different color coded, and it's just like, man, you guys, that's I get it. You're trying to organize things into your perfect vision, but man, this is like not making
it easy for me
or anybody, whatever. Yeah. So, those color tabs, just making sure the colors were hopefully right. And, I mean, they changed, like, so the original request was to make some Panzer Grenadiers, but, digging into the history, Panzer Grenadiers weren't formed until 42.
Mm-hmm.
So it's prior to that, it was like mechanized infantry, which were different. You know, they were there was a different color tab. So, because we're doing Barbarossa, which is 41. So, had to kind of midway through change up the design a little bit.
Gotcha.
So yeah, researching is one of the more difficult spots now.
All right. Have you ever had a design that you wanted to do, but it just wasn't feasible for a particular reason? What was the reason and like why? Yeah.
I really want to make a Doge head minifigure.
Oh my god.
So yeah, that got nixed.
Didn't go over well in the planning meeting.
I didn't even bring it up.
Oh, okay. I think you should. There's potential.
I just want a little Doge coin dog. I don't know. It's a dumb idea. It's stupid. I wouldn't even suggest that one. Let's see what actually was like feasible that we couldn't do. Like early on, there was so much stuff because like we didn't have 3D printers, and Brick Arms had a more limited selection.
Mm.
So it's like the German stuff or the Russian stuff. We either were using the M1 steel pod helmet as a stand in for their, what is that, SSH 40, something like that, for the Russian helmet, World War II helmet. We were just using a stand in. So that was cool when Will finally released his German or his Russian helmet.
Right.
Yeah, those early on figures are lots like pretty simple. So those are the limitations there.
Yeah, it makes sense. And now it feels like everything's
possible. We can 3D print it now. You know, it's like the 3D printing quality and technique is getting better.
Mm-hmm.
It's not quite to like a 1-for-1 level of ABS, but I think I wouldn't have thought this 5 years ago, but now I'm starting to suspect that I think 3D printing might actually be able to match ABS soon.
Man,
that's crazy. I really wouldn't have thought it. So
no, I mean, I wouldn't have either. And I mean, it's really just because of the resin printing, the innovations there.
Yeah. So we'll see where. I mean, I think there's going to be. You know, they came up with resin printing. They'll come up with another technique someday. You know, it's.
Mm.
I'm waiting for that Star Trek replicator, man. Just infinite. You know, olive bricks, military olive bricks. It's going to be the right
all
color.
All the sand red you could dream of.
Yep.
Somebody else actually asked that. What's your favorite Lego color?
Oh, man. Teal. No, that's totally wrong answer. Why would I say that? Teal.
Shout out to Turk.
Let's see. My favorite Lego color. Old gray is really, or old dark gray is really awesome.
Oh, okay. You're an old dark gray fan?
Yeah, I really am. It was a great color. And they officially didn't. Did they ever admit to changing it?
I don't know.
because they officially, like, initially on, they're like, we didn't change anything. It's, what are you talking about? This is like, no, I'm looking at it right now. Like, you did change something. And then they were like, okay, you can trade all your bricks in, I think is what they were saying. Like, you could trade your, maybe I'm making that up, but I remember there being a like a trade in program for your old gray.
Huh.
Yeah. Man.
Old gray is awesome.
Old gray's awesome. What else is cool? What's your favorite color?
Man. Oh, well, if we go by the Lego.
Yeah.
If we go by collecting stuff, I collect a light pink on my Citizen Brick parts. But I think probably olive and dark tan I love, just because if I'm actually building something.
I gotta bust out my Brick Arms collection and look through those. Like, see what are some cool colors that Will's done recently.
He's gotten some crazy stuff for the World Workshop Wonders. I was waiting because he was using a lot of like the same sort of stuff for a while, but he's busted out the coral and the turquoise lately, so it's pretty cool.
Okay, yeah, so I got my Brick Arms collection here. There was like a, I don't know, they were like freebies, and I think it was at Brick Fair Virginia, and it was like this weird, like, it wasn't cotton candy, it was like this coral pink color mixed.
Oh yeah,
with, like,
I know which color you're talking about.
Mm-hmm. Oh man, and it was like swirled with like light blue. It was so weird,
dude. Those AKs, the AK promo that he did was the best promo ever.
Was that, those were all so AKs good.
I think so, yeah.
It was like, it's like totally like 1980s like puke color. It's great.
That is it. Yeah, that is
1980s puke. That's what, or like you ate too much cotton candy and yeah.
And
also puke.
This is what you, yeah. And then you injected it.
Favorite Lego colors would definitely be like transparent neon orange.
Right, for the chainsaw.
Totally like the coolest Lego piece ever, that transparent neon orange chainsaw. Glow in the dark is also really awesome.
Glow in the dark's good, yeah.
And then transparent smoke is really sweet as well. So those are kind of my favorites.
All right. Is there a Holy Grail project that you haven't done yet?
Holy Grail. Oh man. I really want to make some Soviet. Well, if I say it now, somebody else is going to make it, but whatever. I want to make some Soviet Afghan war, paratrooper dudes. Specifically, with those blue knockoff Adidas that those guys would wear.
Oh yeah, yeah, yeah. I remember there was a company recently that was making those figures.
I love the, oh, the, okay, so it's been done. Okay. Okay.
Yeah. It's like, they sell them for super cheap. They're over in Russia. It's like 12 bucks for a figure.
Do they have the blue Adidas?
Yes. They
wow.
do.
Okay, that's excellent.
Oh man,
attention to detail.
I really need to find this for you. Hold on.
They might. Did they even like realize that? Did they just think that was normal? Like, if they're from, like they see this firsthand. Then,
like, gosh, I don't know. Again, you were just talking about how do you keep track of all these names on people on Instagram. I don't even know where to start to find this.
I need like a giant like keyword document search that just like plate feet builder, then you would plate pop up.
And then they changed their name, so then you can't actually find them.
Build like garbage, and then you pop up. Just kidding. I build like garbage.
No, you got me there. This week I got to start on my build. I'm in a collab for Virginia, and there's no time like last minute to build. So
no, that's the best time. I full-heartedly embrace procrastination. You'll get your best work done. Don't listen to me. Yeah, no, so what is that, a month out? Not
yeah,
even.
Yeah, just the end of this month. The 28th starts.
Oh, it came so fast.
I know. Dude, I thought up until this month, I thought I had like another whole month. Like I had 2 months away. I thought it was 2 months away and I was like, all right, yeah, I still got plenty of time to do all the stuff I need to do. And then I checked the calendar and I was like, oh, I'm like entirely wrong.
I could have swore that up until, yeah, this month that Brick Fair wasn't for another at least year. Like easily, yeah. That's how far away it was. No, I have just have a terrible, terrible sense of, that's why I procrastinate. I don't know any better. Yeah, no, it did seem definitely a lot further away, but that's awesome that it's coming up.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, I'll be at, Nebraska Brick Days, I think it's called. And then there'll be a week in between, and then it's the, Brick Fair, Virginia. It's going to be awesome. gonna be so
it's
awesome.
Gonna be crazy this year.
And Dan's here right now. He's been here all weekend. I'm currently at Brickmania, but he's so nobody else is in the office because it's like the holiday observed. But he's just, you know, he's just kind of been in here all weekend working on the Macon Island carrier, okay, sweet. The assault ship. So that's going to be
getting an appearance there.
Crazy, crazy. So we'll see once it's like bristling with helicopters and stuff.
So I'm trying to find this.
You're still looking for the shoes?
Yeah, and I looked it up on Google, but look what I came across. This is like weird.
Weird.
It's just an enamel pin of a Soviet Lego figure with a Brick Arms PPFSH.
That sounds awesome.
It's kind of badass.
We got to make more enamel pins. That's a definite cop for me.
Yeah, just if the shipping wasn't so crazy. I mean, no, it's only $15 really once you look at it for in total.
Yeah, $15 for a janky awesome pin.
It's kind of badass though, like
it's
I'm adding that to my watch list though. I might have to buy that.
Is that eBay? What is this?
Yeah it's on eBay. Here, I'll send you the actual link for
dang it. We gotta commission like 1,000 of those. Just everybody gets this weirdly angry dude. I like the grenade just straight up, like just straight up in that in the belt.
Just a vaguely familiar torso that's sort of CB, but it's not. Oh wait, I sent you the image twice instead of actually giving you the link. Now you can enjoy it double.
Yes. Right. For those of you who don't know, you put a lot of these images in the
wrap up
on your Instagram, mm-hmm. right?
Yep.
Yeah.
On the Bricks and Banter.
Excuse me
Instagram.
For a split second. I'm like, you know, listening to previous episodes, like they're talking about stuff. This is cool. What are they talking about? But I'm still, you know, just still kind of smiling, feeling slightly left out as you guys are laughing about cool stuff that I'm not knowing what's going on. But now I know because it's all on Instagram.
Yep, that's where it's happening.
Now I know.
Bricks _ wait, let me double check. I don't even know what the Instagram is.
Bricks and...
Yeah, I was right. Bricks _and_ banter. Woo!
Was that your original title for this program?
No, actually, the first iteration was Billy's Basement.
I'm bummed that didn't...
A lot of people... it rubbed a lot of people the wrong way when I didn't go with Billy's Basement, but...
Is that... That's like the Patreon account. That's the after hours.
Yeah. The Discord is called Billy's Basement that I
have
set up.
There we go. Okay, so it's still there. It's
It's gotten its spotlight. But, yeah, I can't even remember what I think I was discussing what to call it with my mom, and we both agreed that like I can't put my name in it because it's just like I don't know. It doesn't tell what the show's about in any way. Sure. So I wanted to have a broader appeal like that, and yeah, I don't know. I think just bouncing back and forth between the two of us, we got to
Bricks and Banter. There we go. Yeah. We do you get phone calls from people ordering pizza?
No.
We get this occasionally. It's like, hey, do you guys do pizza? Because like brick oven pizza.
Oh my God.
Or occasionally.
So funny.
Yeah, we so that and.
Or they're like, hey, we got this yard work we need done. Do you do brick and mortar work?
That definitely pops up on Instagram for like popular tags. Like some random city in Ohio uses the hashtag Brickmania when they're like Home Depot gets a new sidewalk in front of it. And like that'll get like 50 likes and like pop to the top of like recently trending posts.
That's so funny.
Brickmania. Good job. All right. I think we featured a town in Canada one time on an episode of Brickmania because it's like use the hashtag Brickmania and we'll feature you in our and it was like this new bank had a new sidewalk and we featured them on an episode.
That's so good.
It's a good
that
sidewalk.
Comes up a lot when you look up like Citizen Brick too. It's just like I don't know. There's like some weird hashtags that come about, but then you actually check it, and it's like, why are people posting to this? Like, what does this always, even mean?
Always check your hashtags before using them.
Absolutely.
Always. Don't assume that nobody else is using that letter combination.
What's the what's your favorite figure that you've designed?
My favorite figure that I've designed. Okay, that's a tough question.
I know. It's like picking your children.
Picking my children. Let's see. I really enjoyed how the World War I German stormtrooper turned out. There was a lot of... It's between that one and the World War II Soviet engineer. what are they, combat engineer. So okay. They both feature some like texture printing on them. So the World War One guy, the German guy, he's got this what do they call it? Like lobster armor or something like that. But it's
oh
this
really, yes, I remember that. Okay.
Yeah, and so he's got.
When you talk about the historical stuff, I'm like so hopeless. I'm like,
it's fine.
Yeah, totally, Lando. I know that one. And then,
keep in mind,
lobster
like
armor. I know. Yeah, I know that one.
I'm learning a lot of this as well.
Right.
And it's like I'm not an expert in history, but like I'm definitely learning. And in some fields, it's kind of like I probably have a good idea. Like camouflage, I can start to recognize that pretty easily.
Mm.
But so it's I think we're all sort of this is one of my favorite parts about all of this is that it's one of the best ways to learn about whatever topic that you're choosing to recreate in Lego. But yeah, for the design part of it, that World War One guy, a stormtrooper, he's super creepy looking. He's got this gas mask. He had a texture printing on that helmet as well. And he just looked really menacing and kind of like the first time that I felt that a figure, it seemed like almost closer to like a scale model as opposed to just like straight up a minifigure, like from Lego or something. Because it came with like a little stand that had like grunge and bullets like on it, like printed on it. And it seemed like more of a like a standalone piece as opposed to like a like just a traditional minifigure. So I thought that was kind of an interesting direction that I wanted to take custom minifigures to. And then kind of the same with that Soviet. He's got that amoeba camo, really really blotchy looking. And then this big giant plate armor on the front that's also kind of menacing looking. So that's just cool looking in its own right. That's why I like that one
for sure.
It's always about the history behind it. It's not like I think I did a really awesome job making this. Like it's you know, it's more so just like I really appreciate the history behind some of my more favorite pieces.
Yeah, it makes it more impactful.
Sure.
Just like it has significance.
Yeah.
How did the Lando's Randos start?
Lando's Randos. So that was a fun project. It's still a super fun project. Initially, it's like obviously we all really love like Citizen Brick, he does his CB days with his misprints.
Mm-hmm.
So that's definitely like an inspiration right off the bat there. It's like, man, it's he's creating these weird like one-off collectibles, and I love that. And kind of in that vein, it's similar in that respect. Obviously, it's these unique pieces that aren't really part of the stock lineup. But they really started off even before that was a thought. They started off just as tests. They really were test prints. They really are test prints. Mm-hmm. And misprints a lot of it. Like, you know, sometimes the computer glitches out or the print bed moves and like it prints like a full half, whatever. It just is really misaligned. And so those will get kind of scrapped and maybe just set aside a test print on again. Like there's enough clean surfaces where you can test out a different design on it. And the printers, they were doing this and they didn't really have a, like it just, they were ending up in a drawer once they sort of filled up. And they were just like scattered around their desk, and they would grab them if they needed another figure to test on.
Yeah.
But so I kind of, you know, found those and like, man, these, you know, they were just torsos and legs for the most part. But then when you start to combine them with other misprinted helmets, misprinted heads, they really turn, and you can kind of compose them into a way that's interesting looking. It's not just like it's random in the fact that there's lots of random printing on it, but there is a little bit of composition in terms of, I try to make the colors sort of coordinate or the weapons and I try to give them a little bit of personality.
Mm-hmm.
But you know, 95% of the stuff going into these on like into a rando would be a misprint or a test print. There's a few things like I printed a run of skull faces because I thought that was cool.
Yeah, and those were intentionally done to be aligned.
Right, but I'm really not putting it's different from that the like those CB days or there's another like True Red's
coming up with stuff like that. Yeah,
it's a bit different than those companies. Like I love what those guys are doing. But they are
intentionally creating those in off colors. Yeah.
Misprint is sort of the wrong, I think that's an technically incorrect word for a lot
they
of that.
They appropriated the term.
Yeah. I don't know. It's not like who did what for, like they obviously like Citizen Brick obviously is doing that test print, and some like a lot of that was misprints. So
mm-hmm. It's like sort of how it originated, and now it's just the terminology is stuck, even though it's grown past that. It's kind of the same sort of discussion if you discuss like how modders have the term modder, even though everything is kind of modding in the Lego custom world.
Sure.
But specifically Brick Arms modders are the quote unquote modders, but it's like, anyway, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. No, that's, it's, they're all, it's all cool in its own right. But I'm not going out of my way to produce quantities.
Fake ones, right?
Fake, false, false randos. No, mm-hmm. Now I think I'm going to put a quantity of, I'm going to intentionally make from the ground up a rando, because that would be random. And that's sort of the spirit of it. I want to put weird things that don't fit in the standard product lineup mix it into here.
Yeah, no, I love them because there's just, I like that it's in touch with the origin of it being like, this is would have been thrown away practically.
Yeah.
But there's always something super unique to them. And I love something I wish that Sizenbrick would do with their misprints, and something that I appreciate that True Red actually does, is that they're really experimental with how things are placed. And like, it happens naturally with the nature of your misprints and the Lando's randos, that they have like really interesting combinations of stacked prints.
Yeah.
And Sizenbrick did that with like the ammo chains, and like there's a few misprints that you could find here and there that are like super unique. Like I found, you remember his Weird Al torso, the Hawaiian shirt? I found one of those with the German, just like German World War II rig over it.
We have a German. That's such Emmett a somewhere. Unique
like mix print that it's like almost, you know, it's usable in a way.
Yeah.
And like True Red, as they started experimenting and getting into the game, they did that with a couple products, which is really cool to see. But like yours, it's like coming about that in a very natural, organic way, which is, it's cool because you just like kind of, there's some of them that like, not to call them like bad, but they're like sort of a miss. It's like, oh yeah, this one's just like totally off the walls.
Oh, there's some that are like terrible and gross. And
but then there's some that it's like, whoa, this is like, at Brick Fair, when I was admiring your watch, you gave Vic a rando and you also gave me one too, because I was just standing there and I right was like, oh, thank you, Lando.
No, I do remember that. I remember it is, those shows are so much fun. Do you remember which rando it was? I don't recall that.
Yeah, no, I'll take a photo of it and send you it. But there was something really cool about the way the legs were combined with like the total random prints. Like, I don't remember the movie or anything. It was one of the movie kits. There was like this figure with like pinkish sort of legs design or something. And then it had a camouflage on it too. I'll find it. I have it Mind specifically it. Somewhere. So I'll, good, good. I'll edit it to the wrap up and I'll send
I'll,
you
I'll
it
bring
as well.
Some randos along with me to the show as well. So
terrific. I'll trade you some torsos. I just got commissioned for one.
Yes.
Have you seen them? I don't know. I haven't posted it, so you wouldn't have seen it.
Yeah, no, I saw it. You commissioned it to us. No, you didn't. I didn't see them.
Hold on up. They're space mushrooms, as I'm calling them.
Oh.
Hand-drawn space mushrooms.
That sounds awesome.
Yeah, I just sent you them. Take a look.
Okay. Space mushrooms. See, I'm on your Bricks and Banter page here. You can just...
It's in your DMs. It's in
DMs. Oh, okay. Yeah, that's lovely.
Yeah.
That like is wonderful.
A space urchin. Sea yep. urchin. Yeah.
It's a space urchin. Wow. That's I like how you have it in multiple colors, you know, fun for the whole family. It's great.
Fun for the whole family, totally. That's actually going to be on the copper drop.
Copper drop. Okay. You're putting me on the spot here, man. I think I would trade.
Right.
Is that like a middle ground?
There we go. We're breaking new ground here. Cop drop or trade?
Trade. I'll trade. I have some Eclipse graphic stuff that I think would be a nice trade.
Hey, I'll take EG. I don't discriminate.
There we go.
All right, man. Well, let's head on into Copper Drop as we're speaking about it.
Let's do this.
So, first up here, we have a release that's been super, super hyped up. Sold out instantly, to my knowledge, was Nazi Bricks Fallout Armor, the Power Armor. How are you feeling about that? Resin printed.
Yeah, yeah. That thing is awesome. So I was wondering, is that painted, right?
I think, I don't know if he sold painted versions, but that's definitely painted up, the one that is in the photo.
Yeah, yeah. So if that thing was painted, man, that is an absolute cop. I thought that thing was gorgeous. I actually messaged him. I was like, come on, man, I want one. but I think they sold out. I'm assuming they sold out.
Yeah, they did.
But those are awesome. I think that's one of the better interpretations of that power armor that I've seen.
Mm-hmm.
So and I'm loving this. I'm loving where the like custom community is pushing this 3D printing. And some of it's like a little, in my opinion, too, like just a scaled down version of it, which I don't think that's quite true to the Lego spirit. Like I think Will's doing a pretty much perfect job at keeping
Lego-fying.
His guns. Yeah, Lego-fying them. Because man, just buy a G.I. Joe if you want like a scaled down version of it. You know, I think maybe the laser gun on that thing is, it's gorgeous, but maybe a little bit too detailed. Mm-hmm. I don't know. It's fair. It's cool.
What I would have liked to see, because I think I could be totally wrong on this, but it definitely looks like it from the perspective, is that the feet kind of raise up, you know, there's some padding underneath in a way.
Yep. If you saw I think there's a side-by-side picture on that same post where it definitely looks like it's a full plate higher.
Yeah.
Like where the eyes would be or where the hands would be.
See,
if you look at the hands.
Are getting mainstream. See, yeah, oh, yeah, totally. Yeah. He has a side by side next to the minifigure.
Yeah. You can see where the hand is that mm-hmm. is a full like plate higher. So, yes, yeah. This is a heavily modified plate attached to the bottom of a foot.
I would have just liked to see that the hands came out a little longer. Like if he just fully 3D printed arms that were longer, that'd be really sick.
Yeah. I'm wondering how much is like actual figure underneath of that. Like, is that arm?
That's a great question. I don't know.
Attached to a figure, but. Overall, I mean that it's
impeccable overall, though.
Yeah, it's great. So, cop.
Yeah, I would have copped if I didn't realize. I woke up and then it was sold out, and I was like, "Oh, I guess that happened."
Dang it!
All right, and here we go. Next up, we have from Eclipse Graphics another resin printed item. They did a whole line of these new, definitely not Star Wars vehicles. Specifically, we could just talk about the ATW, but as a whole, as well, how are you feeling about those?
It's really clever. I'd pick that up, man. It's a nice use of that with a transparent resin.
Mm-hmm.
It really gets that
hologram
look to it. And what someone commented on this, you can see the print lines. You know, it's when it's up close, you can the resin printing still. You see the resolution lines, but as one of the commenters was saying, that it actually kind of adds to that holographic look.
It does.
So touche, Victor, you win this one. I'll pick up your paraphernalia, man. That's fine. Yeah, I'd pick that up.
Yeah, I just actually ordered mine today, but
despite coming from Victor, I would buy that.
I actually picked up the gray one because I'm gonna pick up the holographic ones in person at Virginia, but I picked up the gray ones because I want to try and get together a photo of like them painted up like rusty and stuff. I want to do that before Virginia, but
oh, nice.
We'll see what happens.
Yeah, that'd be a.
I'll have any minifigures actually in the post. It'll just be that one and the God, I don't even know the name of the actual. It's not a TIE fighter, is it? Yeah, TIE fighter.
You're asking the wrong guy.
Whatever the ball one is with the, you know, the wings on the side, and they're, you know, the Sith. I just offended like all of the Star Wars fans, but
that's the one. Yeah.
What, you know, the opposite of the X-wing.
Is that the Interceptor or is it the,
who knows, man?
Is that the Y-wing? There's somebody screaming right now, pulling their hair out. That's a Y-wing.
They called it the dual ion engine fighter. And that's what I bought.
Yeah. Dual ion engine fighter.
And that's what I bought. Yeah, but anyway, I'm trying to.
Is it the Darth Vader TIE fighter?
Yes. There we go.
See, I just watched like a ripped like VHS of A New Hope. Like that was the only one I ever watched as a kid. Because I don't know.
You've never watched all of them?
Yeah, I've watched. I mean, since then.
Okay, since. Sure.
I don't know if I've actually watched them all in like, you know, in one sitting.
Oh, in order.
Or in like a sitting.
That's intense.
I think I've seen, like I really like the aesthetically, it's a cool universe.
Mm-hmm.
I'll just leave it there. I mean, that's it. Yeah, I
agree.
I prefer Star Trek. Honestly, it's
oof, yeah,
like by quite a bit.
I never got into Star Trek.
The droids are okay. The droids are awesome in Star Wars. Like the droids are super cool. Like the robotics of it. I don't know why the heck they gave them the stupidest voices on the planet, but like those are cool. Lightsabers are awesome. Like Darth Maul is arguably one of the coolest characters in any universe, but then they just go ahead and like kill him in like 30 seconds. Like that's great. Same thing with Qui-Gon Jinn. He's like one of the most badass Jedi ever. And then he just gets stabbed. That's cool. That's how that ends. Like you just killed your two best characters and then spent $1 billion on Jar Jar Binks. Like, what?
Okay. Now that you frame it that way, I have a very different interpretation of Star Wars, but yeah.
Yeah. I think that's the rough plot line for episodes 1, 2, and 3. Coolest characters die, Jar Jar Binks. Roll credits.
Have you heard the conspiracy theories that he's Jar Jar Binks is the Sith or something?
So maybe I am secretly a Star Wars fan, because yes, I have heard this. And yeah. I know, yeah, it's a plausible theory.
It's shockingly plausible.
Based on terrible film editing, and that's about it. That's the extent. That's how most conspiracy theories go. It's just, yeah, maybe that's true, but probably not. Sorry, I'm just putting the hammer down on that one. Maybe Jar Jar Binks is a Sith Lord. I like that. Let's go with
it. The movies are a lot better when you think he is.
Yep.
So we'll just leave it there. And last up, this popped in onto my feed just before we started recording. So we have Forrest Moonbricks, the U.S. Pararescue PJs. How are you feeling about this figure?
I think I'd pick that one up. So he's newer to the scene, right?
Yeah, a bit.
Yeah.
I think only like a year or two, maybe.
Yeah, overall, so like his style is really tight. It's he's using very fine lines. I think maybe a little bit finer than I would personally prefer, as just my aesthetic taste. Mm-hmm. You know, but there's some really intricate stitch work. He's doing a good job. I'm glad to see just more options and I'm liking those ammo pouches. They're cool. Mine's due for an update, so we'll see if I can take some inspiration from the community. You know. Mm-hmm. But he's doing a great job. So it's cool to see. I think I've messaged this guy before. So we were talking about his multicam. He did it. That's a really pain in the butt camo to do. So he's doing a great job with that.
And especially to add the gradient to it, just to flex.
Yeah, yeah. So awesome that there is some more options out there, and I'm excited to see what more he's producing. So yeah.
Big fan of this one. Technically not a cop because I already bought the first iteration of his multicam, so I don't need a second one right now. But yeah. It's awesome.
There's another newer guy that's kind of got the more like fine style like this. He had like a minifigure with dreads.
Tattoos. Brick Creator.
Yeah, he's another one that's doing it's a really, really intricate designs.
Yeah. There, some of them really slap. I do enjoy some of them. I don't know how to feel about the company overall after there was some weird beef of him possibly selling G-Brick stuff.
Beef.
Recasts.
That's not cool.
It's not.
Recasts are weird. That's
until, I don't know, as things are, it seems for certain that that was the case. He said that he would bring to light what was the issues and what, you know, clear his name, but I haven't seen that.
Okay.
Happened since. I don't know. I'm skeptical to support that until then, but I can't deny that there is some really awesome stuff he's got going. I was really excited about his work until then, you know.
What's the saying? It's like don't meet your heroes or whatever. Don't meet the artists.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's like, oh, that's my favorite song, and then they turn out to just like this guy that just kicks puppies or something terrible. I don't know.
Well,
Billy, you kick puppies, don't you? Is that that's your thing?
I scam people. I don't kick the puppies. I just scam them.
Yeah.
Same difference.
You scam puppies, man. That's messed up.
Scam puppies, right?
Knock it off.
I'll scam your puppy at Brickfair.
No. What does that mean? Does that mean something?
No, I think you just take it literally.
Okay.
Do you have a dog?
I don't.
Well, I guess then I can't scam him.
Dang it. I'll get a dog for the occasion.
All right. Well, there we go. With that, I don't think there's a better note to really end it on.
That's a great ending point. Billy the puppy scammer, children crying, Jar Jar Binks is the worst. Awesome.
Yep. Proud to be a plegger.
Proud plegger.
Thank you so much for coming on, Lando. It was really awesome to get to talk to you. And I look forward to seeing you at the end of the month. So any last words?
Yeah, absolutely. I look forward to seeing you. And I hope that anyone listening in is also going to make it to Brick Fair or any other place that we're at. Check out our newsletter that you can keep up to date with all that sort of stuff.
Absolutely.
Totally a pleasure being here. Let's do this again sometime soon, man.
Yes, please. Good talking, man.
Good talking.
Well then, what a show. Thank you very much for coming on, Lando, and I look forward to seeing you later on this week. Thank you all for listening, and I hope you enjoyed this episode. Please share the podcast with a friend or repost us on Instagram. It would be greatly appreciated. Thank you again to Nate's Minifigs for sponsoring this episode. You can check out his website, natesminifigs.com, and use promo code BM4 at checkout for 15% off. Now, I've been really excited with the opportunity of the podcast's first official sponsor, but I don't want that to take away from the shine of the tried and true supporters on Patreon. Many of you have been helping make this podcast happen from the very beginning, and I cannot thank you guys enough. So with that, a huge shout out is owed to Seth, Mike, Justin, Francisco, Dash Bricks, J Bricks, PK Custom Lego, Milo, Jay, Minibigs, and Thomas. The support really means a lot. Thank you all again for listening, and I hope you come back next time to listen in on my conversation with some of the World in Darkness story leaders. What's World in Darkness, you might ask? Well, I suppose you'll have to find out next time. See you soon.